Shit, shit, shit sandwich.
What the fuck is your problem?
Shut up, you freak!
Thanks, I needed that.
Welcome to the real world.
Our department.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed.
You are the leading asshole in the state.
Bitch, please.
Pass the duchy, my friends.
Remember, a Jedi can feel the Force flowing through him.
What were you doing when the lights went out?
Birdie, num-num.
Lynch me for what my people have done to your people.
Oh, durka-durka-durka.
It's a madhouse! A madhouse!
Warning, if you want your asses blown out, stay in the room.
Hello and welcome to Dave and Shecky's Groovy Boob Tube Review. I'm Dave.
And I'm Shecky, and in our podcast, what we like to do is review movies that have left the theaters and are now available to you on your television, either through pay-per-view or HBO or even, you know, American Movie Classics. Lately, we've been sticking to the pay-per-view, but we've been having some issues with pay-per-view lately. The choices have been pretty crappy.
Yuck. Shit sandwich.
I mean, we struggled and struggled this week to find a movie that we thought would be interesting to review. And the movie we picked at first was...
The Bad News Bears? Or was it the one that we picked before that we couldn't see because it was only available one showing every blue moon?
Right. Yeah, exactly. First, we wanted to pick Serenity because I love that movie. I've seen it only once, but I really want to see it again. And it's a movie that I will eventually own. But I'm looking and looking and looking. Serenity was playing on one channel. And it was playing, you know, with a shitload of other movies. It didn't have its own channel devoted to it, which I thought was insane. And then when it did play, it wasn't in Letterboxd. So it was available at 2 p.m. and then it was available at 8 p.m. after a couple other movies played in between. And it was just like, it was almost like the pay-per-view gods don't want this movie to be watched or something, or they don't want it to make any money.
Well, you said it's by Joss Whedon, correct?
It is by Joss Whedon.
And then maybe he has a little problem with the higher powers of the networks, perhaps?
Well, I don't know who owns pay-per-view. I don't know if...
Rupert Murdoch?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. But it would seem that somewhere, someone along the line doesn't want Joss Whedon to make money on Serenity. Because, to be honest, just the fact that the movie was made and so many people love it is really just a stab in the heart at Fox for their ridiculous abilities, or their ridiculous inability to keep a show on. And their
Firefly,
exactly. Now, you know, they didn't give Firefly a chance. They played it completely out of order. I don't know how many episodes they wound up playing. I think maybe only 10. I don't know. They didn't play all of them. And still, they canceled it, and still there was such a huge fan base for this show that Joss Whedon, I think, I don't know if he put up all his own money or put up, a lot of his own money. Certainly his reputation was on the line. And he went ahead and made Serenity. And it just seemed really odd, you know, in a pay-per-view world where the Dukes of Hazzard has 5 channels dedicated to it. Serenity is buried on a channel with like Bewitched and who else? No, I don't even know.
Something
what the
called
other.
The Cave
and Bewitched.
It's on
and Serenity.
One channel, and it'll be gone in 3 days.
Yeah, exactly. It's on like the way the pay per view works on the DirecTV system anyway is that the first the lowest number channel has the newest stuff and has the stuff that they're really dedicating a lot of channels to. And when you get up towards the upper echelons of the, I guess it's the 170s or 180s channel numbers, you know that those channels, those movies aren't staying for long. You know, you got your $1.99 channel is the only is the next step, and then you know you're gone for months, and then you're on HBO or something. So I mean, this movie went. It never had the four or five channels in all the time that we've been doing this show, anyway, unless it came out on pay-per-view months and months ago. But I don't understand why we never saw it.
Well, it's obvious that pay-per-view, the people who program pay-per-view have their priorities up their ass. What's this new channel they got? The romance. What's this romance channel? Is that because of Valentine's Day?
Well, that's the other
thing. Why don't
they
have a Black History channel? What the hell? Where are they going with this?
I don't know if DirecTV programs their own pay-per-view or if there's like a pay-per-view company out there that that programs every pay-per-view. But it just seems like they had this new channel and I'm looking and I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't figure out what the hell was going on because they had like The Bodyguard. And they were having all these movies that were, you know, 10, 12 years old. And I was like, what the hell is this? And I was like, well, maybe they're free.
I thought it was Black History Month because
they're The Bodyguard.
Well, no, each one of them had like a black person in them. So I was stretching it to think that possibly right. They were black movies.
Right, exactly. Because they weren't really great movies, but they did have black people in them.
It was
so
a bit of a stretch.
I was like, well, it's February's Black History Month. Maybe somehow this is their justification. But no, it's not. This channel is for romance because it's Valentine's Day at some point in February.
Yeah.
I mean, they should have a Black History channel.
We're going to have to work on that.
It seemed like it was like, and they still want, it's not even like those movies are free. They're still like $3.99 to watch these movies from 10, 12 years ago.
It's a scam, yo.
It was kind of a scam. And the fact that, you know, the other thing that was really pissing me off about the pay-per-view is the lack of letterboxing. I mean, they have all these movies and they're all full screen. I want to see a letterbox movie. I want to see how the movie was, you know, it was shot and how it was intended to be viewed. And to see this it's almost like you're watching a, you know,
why did they
a made for TV
you a choice?
Movie. You know what? If they want to give you a choice, that's fine. I don't mind that. But if you're going to have five channels of a movie, please have more than, you know, have at least one, if not two of them, be letterboxed. It's insane. So anyway, we go through the whole, we couldn't watch Serenity because our schedules would not allow it. And our replay TV is broken. So we couldn't, you know, we couldn't record it. So instead, I chose the Bad News Bears. The Billy Bob Thornton Bad
Yeehaw!
News Bears.
He's some
why
actor.
Do you say yeehaw?
I just love that Billy Bob Thornton.
Why? Because his name is Billy Bob? You think he's like a
Billy,
redneck
he's
or something?
A good old boy. And his performance in Sling Blade, although I didn't see the whole thing, he was commendable as a weirdo. Weirdo Southern guy.
The problem is with Billy Bob Thornton and the Bad News Bears is, and this is something that I do not do regularly. It's almost like I never do it. But I looked at Dave a half hour into this movie, into the Bad News Bears. I said, Dave, I hate this movie. I can't watch another minute of it. And you just burst out laughing, I guess because you were feeling the same way, or...
Man, that movie was so bad. They just so missed the boat on that movie. I mean, oh man, it's really just indicative of Hollywood, I guess, pretty much. Because, I mean, they took basically an endearing kids movie with some great, you know, lovable actors like fucking Walter Matthau, basically, which is the whole film, and turned it into just like... A piece of crap where they took everything that was just like the essence of the film, missed it, and then went with every little cheap, like cliched angle they could go with. I mean, it was just terrible.
I have been in a funk health wise for the past week or so, and I sat down to watch this movie and I gotta admit I was in a bit of a funk, but a half hour into the movie I felt like committing murder. I was just so enraged by this movie and the thought that somebody had spent money to make this movie when there are people starving in the world.
Yeah, there should be a law against making this movie. There should be a committee that has to approve a remake of this kind of movie. And I mean, this is just How much what did they spend on this movie? This is like,
I don't know.
It was like a fucking high school movie.
It was, you know, and in the 30 minutes that I watched it, I might have giggled once, and it was, you know, I'm sure it was a freak accident. They took the character of Buttermaker, who was a lovable, drunken curmudgeon, and just turned him into a douchebag asshole. And there was nothing likable about him. And it was just, it was almost like he phoned in his performance. Because he had the enthusiasm of a turd in this movie, acting.
He missed the essence of the Mathau character. Just like they missed the essence of the whole film.
But they shouldn't have made
it. He missed it so bad that they had to write in a Greg Kinnear character that barely existed in the first one. Greg Kinnear should have been the Walter Matthau character. No, if anything.
Dave.
The whole movie should have not been made. It should not have been made.
I have never, and you know, we have to pay for the pay-per-view. We actually buy the pay-per-view.
That motherfucker owes us some money.
And so I just looked at Dave, because we're not millionaires. You know, it's like $4. And it's $4 we just wasted. And I just looked at him. I said, Dave, I cannot in good conscience review this movie. It's just horrible. Yeah. I said, we have to pick another movie. And he's like, well, do we get our money back? And I'm like, no.
Man, we quit it before it was even a third of the way through.
Yeah. You know, oh, no. Yeah, definitely.
Movies are just not what they used to be, folks. I hate to tell you.
But that one, I mean,
dying art.
For me to say to you, I can't finish watching this movie. I mean, it was almost like I was getting more and more depressed thinking that I had to watch this movie to the last minute.
Yeah, I just didn't like it.
It was just really affecting me in a negative way. And you know, they have the kids, and the kids are all named the same thing. But it's just like, I felt bad for the kids, because there's no way they could live up to the original kids. First of all, kids today are not like kids were in 1976. They're not the same. They're not the same. And those kids in 76, you know, Tanner Boyle seemed very brash, and when he would be saying stuff and that you would never say to an adult these days. And this kid didn't seem like he was anything out of the ordinary, because he was still doing the old Tanner Boyle dialogue. But 30 years later, I mean, Christ, kids today tell their parents to fuck off. I mean, you know, and so it was just like, you know, it was just awful. It was awful. And then they had the poor kid Lupus, who was so cute and adorable in the original. He was just like, they kind of just turned him into like, he was like a gay kid or something. I don't know what they were doing. But it was the first time that I have ever said, I cannot watch this movie through. I mean, I even gave, what was that movie I watched and you had to leave the other day? We didn't review, but it was The Phantom of the Opera. I watched that thing all the way through. I couldn't do it. So we had to move on. we picked another movie. And the new pick was The Exorcism of Emily Rose. Indeed.
Well, this was a pleasant surprise.
It was...
Where do I begin? Oh, let me begin by apologizing for my under-the-weatherness last week. I was possessed by demons last week. I thought I was getting sick, but... I don't know.
You thought you were on the verge.
I was on the verge, and then all of a sudden... Fought it off, babe.
Because you weren't ill, Dave.
Fighting it off, babe.
You weren't ill. You were just probably tired. You were probably overtired, and you'd probably had coffee, and you were a little loopy.
Fought it off, babe.
You didn't. There was nothing to fight off.
I had the swollen glands there, babe.
Oh, God, Dave. I have never met anyone who is in
had
such...
The swollen glands over there.
You are in...
And I couldn't help myself over there. I had to take it ish.
I don't know. I have never met anybody in my life.
I fought it off.
Are you gonna?
What?
I'm gonna speak now.
Please.
I have never met anyone in my life who touches his glands as much as you do.
I am very aware of my glands.
You are very gland aware.
Everyone is a glandular, but I'm glandular. I'm aware of my glandular abilities.
You are like a the gland glands, superhero.
You know, they're like an indicator. They're like UV meters.
Yeah.
And them glands get enlarged. You got to turn down the recording levels.
Yeah, but I think glands get enlarged for other reasons, like if you fucking poke them all the time. Anywho, let's get on to this movie. So The Exorcism of Emily Rose, starring Laura Linney and Tom Wilkerson, really were the main two characters.
Tom Wilkerson, was he the guy who looked like Danny Aiello?
Was he the guy who looked like Danny? I didn't see
was
anyone.
He the priest? The priest to me looked too much like Danny Aiello.
Are you kidding me?
He was all Aiello'd up.
No, I think you don't know who Danny Aiello is.
Danny DeVito? Nope, Danny Aiello. Yep, you look like Danny Aiello to me.
The priest.
The priest. And I'll tell you another thing.
Okay.
The prosecutor.
Yeah.
Was he looked exactly like the cop from Reno 911.
I didn't recognize
and
that.
And he sounded like him, too.
Really?
So.
You know what? That's because he had a mustache.
It was very amusing to me.
See, that the this movie, well, let's start, let's say that the Exorcism of Emily Rose is claims to be based on a true story of a young woman who had been possessed, apparently. She woke up in her teens one day in the middle of the night, and pretty much from then on, things got pretty bad for her. She started seeing evil faces in... you know, in clouds, in frost on a window. She was hallucinating a whole bunch of stuff. What?
Did we determine when this actually took place, time was?
I did, and that will come later.
Okay. Well, I'm just thinking, you know, hey, you know, they didn't find any drugs in her system. But from that explanation there, that sounds a lot like some bad acid stuff there. Bad reaction to an acid trip.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have lasted for years.
Hey, tell that to Sid Barrett.
Dude, that guy fucking wore acid as a headband. This, I mean, that's an abnormal amount of acid. And Sid Barrett, I believe, is still alive. So,
he is. It's true.
I mean...
Okay. I got you. Yeah, it's true.
They did test her for drugs, but the... there's just... Do you like to throw a wrench in everything? I'm like just timing stuff out, and I'm thinking to myself, well, let's talk about the movie. Let's talk about what happens in the movie. And then in my mind, I'm saying, and then let's compare it to.
Well, you got to have that element of you never know what's going to happen.
Well, there you go. I really don't ever know what's going to happen with you.
Well, I'll give you I'll give it back to you. Back to Shecky. Shecky, back to you.
Anyway, the movie, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, stars Laura Linney, Tom Wilkerson. And the girl who actually plays Emily Rose, her name is Jennifer Carpenter. And I have to say, when the movie trailer came out, I guess it was over the summer or over the fall, I'm not sure when, I'm not a big fan of scary movies because I am easily petrified. And I just thought it was going to be a horror movie. But in fact, it's really not a regular type of horror movie, is it?
Yeah, that's a real... I was going to get to that, too. They definitely mismarketed this movie, because, well, they put the word exorcism in there, and that right there gives it a whole... First of all, you think it has something to do like The Exorcist. So
right.
You think it's going to be something like that kind of movie. And this movie was a lot closer to... This movie was closer to, like, you know, Jagged Edge than it was... you know, I mean, it was a courtroom drama.
It was a courtroom drama thriller. It was almost like...
It wasn't the sci-fi Wes Craven. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't a horror film.
Yeah, I mean, this is the reason that kept me away from it in the theaters because, you know, I get scared watching stuff on the regular television. But if I'm like, you know, in my house, I can run away from the screen if I want. I can run in the bathroom and then just peek around the door. But in the movie theater, you can't do that. And shit is so huge that I would really be petrified.
This movie was scary, but...
It had really scary moments. I mean, there were some times where I was like, Jesus Christ!
They mismarketed it, though.
But I think they do that on purpose.
Well, they definitely did it on purpose. Someone called this... I don't wonder if it was even entitled that in the first place.
The Exorcism of Emily Rose?
Yeah, it might have been called something else, and they were like, you know what, this is an exorcism thing, let's capitalize on that. I don't know, it just, that threw me off. I didn't know it was anything like it was. They spent more time with the lawyers than they did on the weird stuff.
And I liked that, though. I liked, I liked it. I thought it was really well done. I liked that it was a courtroom drama, and the testimony was about the exorcism.
I'm going to put this movie on the same level as Stir of Echoes.
Okay, I can understand that.
Yeah, it was kind of about the same in terms of dramatic ability and just about as scary. Although, actually, I think Stir of Echoes is a little scarier.
Stir of Echoes is damn scary.
Maybe it just was too close to The Sixth Sense at the time that people didn't want to deal with it on its own level, but...
Yeah, because it came out around the same time.
And it had some similar seeing dead people type of things, but man, that shit was scary.
Yeah, Stir of Echoes was much scarier than Sixth Sense. Sixth Sense was more like...
The M. Night Shyamalan ding dong coming at you with the thing phone.
But Sixth Sense is an excellent movie.
Yeah.
But though, when we left the theater, you were very pissed off.
I don't like it.
Yeah. Dave doesn't like to be tricked.
Don't tell me he's dead. That was, no.
Uh-oh, spoiler alert.
Jesus Christ, I see fucking poor filmmaking is what I see.
See, you are in, I'm sure there's people out there that agree with you, but I am not one of those people.
No, I think I'm in the minority, actually. Most people like that film.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it.
I'm stubborn, and I don't like to be tricked.
So anyway, back to The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Mismarketed.
What happens sometimes is that... you know, it's the studio execs. You know, the movie is made the way it's written and how it should be made. And then some weirdo studio exec watches the movie and says, no, we need to cut a trailer that makes it look more like this and less of what it really is. And then when you know, people like us don't go see it because we think it's, a horror film.
Yeah.
Because even when I saw like commercials for it, I was thinking to myself, what is Laura Linney doing in a horror film? Because she's,
Who is she, the attorney?
Yeah, she's like a well-respected actress. Mm-hmm. Oscar nom. She might have even won an Oscar.
Really?
Yeah, so she definitely was nominated. And I just couldn't, she was in Mothman Prophecies too, but that too wasn't...
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, you did.
We did?
Yeah, you saw it with me.
Oh, jeez.
It was the Richard Gere.
Oh, the Mothman over there. with his wife,
yeah,
in the bathtub over there,
right
in Vermont, up in Vermont.
What? No.
Yeah, they were in Vermont. It was a farmhouse in Vermont.
No.
Yeah, sure, that's the ticket. Yeah,
that wasn't Vermont.
No.
No.
Maine, Colorado.
What are you talking about?
Where it was set. It was in a country house, right?
It wasn't, but it wasn't about the house.
I know, but I'm just trying to make sure I'm getting my. There were scenes in the house though, in that bathtub and stuff. The shower filling up with like fog.
Oh, no. I think you're thinking about the one with Harrison Ford where he cheats on his wife.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah. I forget what that movie's called. It was Richard Gere and his wife was Grace from Will and Grace.
Man, I don't remember this movie very well.
We saw, we didn't see it in the movies. We saw it on TV. I remember we were sitting on the bed watching it. So it doesn't matter. But anyway, she's in it. She played the sheriff in Mothman Prophecy. And remember at the end of Mothman Prophecies, remember the whole bridge collapses and there's like a lot of people on the bridge.
Oh, the Mothman Prophecies.
I think it's West Virginia, actually.
Now I remember what you're talking about.
West Virginia, Kentucky.
And the Mothman. This is based on a true story about the Mothman who has been seen all over the place.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a prophecy. I got you now.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Anyway, so and I was kind of shocked to see her in this movie, and I didn't realize what kind of a movie it was. And now that we rented it or got it on pay-per-view, I can see it was just a different movie than it was portrayed in the commercials.
You're telling me this movie is not 100% better than Crash?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely better than Crash.
Crash wins awards or gets recognized. Why wasn't this recognized? Are we so stupid in society that we have to have a cliched subject matter like racism for a movie to get recognition or gayness?
You know what really pisses me off about the Oscar nominations for this year?
What?
Lack of George Lucas respect.
Yep.
Well, you know what that movie was nominated for?
He never gets respect.
That movie was nominated for one award and the award is Best Makeup. Is that the biggest fucking...
Well...
What? Well, what?
It's like, what are you going to do? Has he
music? Has script?
Has he
cinematography?
Won, did he win anything for the first one? Has he won a Lifetime Achievement Award? What are you going
to
do?
He deserves to be nominated for many awards with that movie. He has a franchise that has come full circle after 30 years. Somebody better recognize that motherfucker
for all
that.
He thumbs his nose at the Hollywood.
Because they thumb their nose at him.
Well, he doesn't need their stupid accolade.
But you know what?
He doesn't need those stinking badges.
Oh, you don't understand.
I do understand.
No, you don't. Because you know what? You're not a big fan of the Star Wars.
I'm not a sci-fi guy. But I like George Lucas.
Oh, you don't get it. You're hurting me. You're hurting me, and when you hurt me, you hurt George Lucas.
I like the John Lucas.
Anywho, let's get back to this. So yes, as you said before, it is based on a true story. The real person's name was Annalise Michel, and she was actually born in Bavaria in 1952. So this was not an American thing. This did not happen in America.
It's Bavarian. Well, that explains a lot.
What does that mean to you? What do you mean explains a lot?
I'm just kidding. I can't make something up on that. I'll offend too many people that I don't know.
Yeah, because you know what? We have a very high number of Bavarians.
Welcome to the Bavarian population.
That's Transylvania.
Oh, sorry.
Anyway, this is from... I was able to print something off of the interwebs.
Wait, Bavaria?
Yeah, that's
Isn't
like...
Isn't that like Germany?
Yeah, exactly.
Why don't you just say Germany?
Because I am reading to you from what the horrorchannel.com has written here.
Bavaria.
Annalise was born in September of 52 in Bavaria. Her life was unremarkable in that she was a happy child, religiously nurtured, and in all other ways, normal. However, at the age of 16, Annalise was afflicted with the first of many of what her parents came to believe were demonic attacks. Her body went rigid, and she was unable to call out to her parents for help. She shook violently without control of her actions. Her parents took her to a psychiatric clinic, and she was diagnosed with the grand mal epilepsy, which is what she was basically diagnosed with in the movie.
Right.
The movie takes place in present day, though.
In America.
So what the difference is in the movie, they really consolidate this all of this stuff happening within, I don't know, a year?
Yeah, for sure.
That's what I'm thinking, right? A year? Uh-huh. She becomes possessed, or she has her episodes or whatever, and she leaves school right away. And then she...
Yeah, it seems within a month or two, a couple months.
Yeah. 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 So in real life, Annalise Michel, she was taking medicine... Which even, I think they should have called it what it was and based it on the real story, because I think the real story is interesting. And though the Exorcism of Emily Rose is a decent movie, it's pretty good and it's really interesting and entertaining.
Mm.
It's the what I've found here on the horrorchannel.com is even more so. And if it, you know, and it's
you
apparently
mean the actual story is even more compelling.
Well, because in the movie they say, you know, the doctors and the prosecuting attorney says, well, if she had been continued to get her medicine, she would have gotten better. And you know, and the defense attorney was like, well, no, because the medicine wasn't doing anything. And the doctor said, well, it needed time to work up in her system. But in the real story, she took medicine for 5 years, and it didn't help her. So, I mean, to me, that's like, okay, you take medicine for 5 years.
Well, how'd she die in the real story?
It's the same way. She starved to death. She stopped eating. In the movie, they show her eating bugs.
Yeah.
In real life, she ate bugs and coal and drank her own urine.
Why?
Because she says that's what the demons were telling her to do.
What
do you mean, why?
That's a fucked up demon, yo.
What do you mean, why?
Why do you do those things?
Oh, God. Was this the return of Jiminy Glick?
That stuff isn't right. It's just not right.
You haven't been working on it.
Oh, jeez.
Anyway, so they started giving. So after 5 years, apparently her parents kept trying to get the church to give her an exorcism. But believe it or not, there are actually, like, you can't claim something needs to be exorcised unless it's the possession has to meet, like, standards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, is there levitation? Is there crazy physical strength that's abnormal? Like, there are actual, like, there's a list of standards that have to be met for it to be exorcism worthy, I guess. And so the priests, the archdiocese, or whatever's over there in Germany, said, no, this isn't, no. She's just crazy. So for years, and then finally they found a priest that you know, took up their case for them, and he was able to get the church to finally agree to give her exorcisms. And they were doing these rituals to this girl twice a week. They were trying to drive these demons out, and she was, you know, speaking in tongues, and she was, you know, it was a horrible existence for her. And eventually, you know, she just stopped eating regular food, and she died in I think it was in 1975 or 1976. She passed away, and they were convicted. Yeah. Her parents and the priest were convicted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in real life they were convicted, and they were given light sentences. They were given 6 months sentences.
Right. Kind of like, what's the modern day religious people who reject medicine?
Is that Jehovah's Witnesses?
Mm.
I don't know.
Scientology.
Oh, well, yeah.
Who knows?
But they're not. That's not a real religion.
No, another one. Christian Scientology. Christian scientists.
Christian scientists?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know enough about Christian scientists.
I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Well.
Anyway, I'm just thinking that perhaps, you know, the story is based on that, but, you know, they took some definite liberties here to make it a movie.
Well, it's almost like,
I mean, was The Real Exorcist based on anything?
Yeah, it was, actually. But I think it was supposed to be a boy.
And haven't we seen, like, you know, some actual, like, skin rising on people and supposedly with, like, lettering coming out on their stomach, but they say it's like a rash or something. But, you know, how, like, in The Exorcist it says, help me, on her stomach.
Well, I don't know how much of The Exorcist is true.
Supposedly there's been, like, real-life cases of that, but maybe it's a little bit exaggerated.
Well, I mean, there's probably people out there who would like you to think it's exaggerated. I mean, the truth of the matter is that in religion, you know, if you believe in the Bible, then you have to believe in the devil.
And right? You also have to believe in grilled cheese sandwiches with the face of Jesus burned into them.
No, it was Mary.
Well, I got one with Jesus.
No,
I'm
you
putting
don't.
It up on eBay.
I mean, that's a whole other thing. And I don't even understand why people would be that way. But
should we talk about Beru's?
Hold on one second. If you want to talk about Beru's, go right ahead.
We're sitting there watching a movie, and then all of a sudden I hear this unmistakable voice of the Iranian woman from 24 last season, I think it was. And
right, and she was also in The House of Sand and
she's
Fog.
She's got this very, very low voice. It's almost like this.
Beru's.
She's been smoking for 40 years, and she's in Boca.
Well, the problem is that she was in The House of Sand and Fog, and she was in 24, and so as soon as we heard her voice, it almost like took me out of the movie.
It's true. She was too bruised up.
Because Bruce is the name of her son in 24.
Yeah, well, he was also the son in House of Santa Fe. And let me tell you,
exactly.
He should have been in this one, too, because without him, she's nowhere, baby.
Yeah, she was actually nominated for an Oscar as well.
In this?
Not in this, in House of Santa Fe. And you know what? She might have won, actually, but I don't think she's a very good actor.
Well, she's no sexy beast. What's his name? Ben
Kingsley.
Who was also in Santa Fe. He was good. He's good in everything.
That guy is great. He's great in everything.
He'll be Gandhi to me forever.
See, I liked him as the vice president in Dave.
Ah.
Which is also good.
Probably one of the better movies.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, So whenever we hear her voice, we're like immediately taken out of the movie and put right into 24.
Yeah.
And then we just start saying, Barus. We just start making fun of her voice. Barus.
It's Barus.
It's Barus.
Her name is Barus.
Well, her son's name was Barus, well, but no, to her, we...
She's always...
we refer to her as that, yeah. So she was... She's not a very good actress. And her, and she's so hard to listen to. And they could have picked anybody else. I don't even know, like I hate when movies just shove people in there of some fame just
she
for the hell
the
of it.
She was the John Leguizamo of this movie, I think.
She was the
she
John
gets the
Leguizamo.
Leguizamo Award. And hey, you know, while I'm at it, we should have just had the judge should have been Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum should have been in this movie.
He could have been the judge, and that would have just given it even more star quality.
I love Jeff Goldblum.
You should have called it The Judging of the Preacher, starring Jeff Goldblum.
Well,
and Danny Aiello.
The title is a little misleading. You think you're going to be witnessing all this really demonic stuff, and there is scary stuff in it. But it's I would say the courtroom stuff is like 70% of the movie.
I mean, was this movie too scary for you, or I mean, would you have been like, oh, we shouldn't have seen that? I mean, some movies you just don't want to see because they're too scary.
Well, that's why I didn't want to see it in the theater, because the trailers all involved, remember when she's running out there in the rain and everybody's face is kind of like melting?
Yeah, they totally capitalized on that kind of stuff. That's what
and
exactly.
that was like maybe 8 seconds of the movie.
They made the trailer insanely scary, and the movie is not representative of that. That's not representative of the movie at all.
I mean, the movie is creepy, and it definitely you're interested, and there are parts where you get scared, but it's not
Ghost
a
Whisperer,
horror movie.
Ghost Whisperer is scarier than this.
Ghost Whisperer's a really scary show.
Maybe less special effects in terms of her body contorting, but Ghost
yeah,
Whisperer
that's a scary
is a scarier
part.
Show than this. So yeah, I don't know what that tells you.
But when you say that, you're not saying that you didn't like the movie.
No, and I think Ghost Whisperer is a good show.
Yeah, well, Ghost Whisperer is a good show.
I mean, at this show, this movie had zero, there was not a drop of sex in this movie. Not an ounce of
sex. Is that a problem?
Sex. Well, I'm just comparing it to Ghost Whisperer, which every other scene is bazooms.
Yeah. Jennifer Love Hewitt's breasts are like the get star billing in the Ghost Whisperer.
So that's always...
you are not going to see a scene...
That's always fun.
Well, it is for you, and it's just... It's kind of fun for me, too, in a different way, because it makes me laugh. Because I'll be like, oh my God, look at it, it's Jennifer Love Hewitt. And her breasts. It's like she's always wearing something that's low cut, or she's always bending over something. It's ridiculously funny. And the girl is so adorable that you don't need to do that, but somehow they just want to throw her breasts in there. And you don't seem to mind it.
Hey, what are you gonna do? You wanna watch the show? I'll watch it too.
It's like ice skating. It's like the Olympics in ice skating.
It's like Dancing with the Stars.
Oh my God.
Skating with the Stars. No, Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars.
My wife has a crush on this woman on Dancing with the Stars. I don't know what the hell's going on, but she can't take her eyes off her.
Which woman?
A Keebler or something?
Oh, okay.
Stacey Keebler? My wife's like an elf over here for the Keebler.
Oh God, Dave. Dave, on a scale of 1 to 10, that was like a 3.
Where's the car crash?
You're the John Leguizamo of this episode.
Oh, whoa. Come on. Harsh out. Hey, man.
No, but Stacey Keebler, and she's not even my favorite on the show, but she's just one of those, she's tall and she's leggy, and they just are shoving these women who look really good into these really skimpy outfits, and yet you can't take your eyes off of them because you're like, oh my God. I mean, she's definitely a beautiful girl. And the other one who's really I've become obsessed with is Lisa Rinna. Because she is 42 years old and she is hot. Except for that fucking lip job. So upsetting, because you know what? If you go to awfulplasticsurgery.com, they have before and after pictures of Lisa Rinna when before she had her lip collagen. And she's perfect. She's a beautiful lady. Her whole face, it changed her whole face. And it's a shame because, you know, as just people who watch television, that's what the first thing we look at. But now that we've got to see her more on this show, or at least I have, I like her. Like, I can't be like, you know, I think she's like, you know, she's got kids. She runs around all day, and her husband is always at that show rooting for her.
She's bugging.
Why is she bugging?
I don't know. She's bugging.
Oh, God, you're bugging. You're bugging,
yo.
Dave and I will get into fights, and he will just look at me and be like, "You are bugging.
You're bugging.
You're bugging." And it's just like, how do you have a fight with someone who's telling you you're bugging? It's ridiculous. It's not even a fight. It's just like a bickering, a married bickering thing. You're bugging, sweetie.
Well, I feel it captures what I'm feeling at that moment.
You know, I wrote notes upstairs. I had a checklist of shit we have to remember to do.
Well, I'll tell you one thing we got to remember to do. Never watch Bad News Bears again.
Oh, if we don't do anything else in this episode.
All right, wait. Oh, yeah?
What?
Before I forget, let's just do this.
Okay.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what do you give the Bad News Bears?
Oh, God. I literally give it a 0. Because Dave, I love to give movies a chance. I give movies a chance because I know people worked hard on them, you know, behind the scenes or whatever. And I try to find something about a movie that I can just latch on to and at least just like that one part of the movie.
All right, I'll give it a 1 or a 2.
You would give it a 2? You would go, I can't even imagine. Dave, we couldn't watch 30 minutes of it.
What do you give Emily Rose, The Exorcism of?
The Exorcism of Emily Rose. I give that, on a scale of 1 to 10, I will give The Exorcism of Emily Rose, I would say I would give it a solid 7.
All right, I'll agree with you on the 7. And to get back to last week, since we got off track, anyone who cares to remember back with us to the glory days of last week.
The glory days of last week.
What would you give Deuce Bigelow European Gigolo?
Deuce Bigelow European Gigolo.
Come on, you got to give it up to that horrible cameo of Adam Sandler doing some obscene gesture as a male man whore.
As a sheenus? I would say I would give Deuce Bigelow European Gigolo 5.5.
All right, then I'll give it a 6.
Well, wait a second. What do you give the animal?
I think I give the animal a 7.
And what did you give the first? Are you saying you like this movie better than the first Deuce Bigelow?
No, didn't I give that one a 6 also?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So you like them both the same?
Yeah, they're about the same. Although, well, the first one was a little bit better, but still both about the same.
See, I think I like the first one better.
Yeah, it was better, but this one was had enough funny stuff in it that I can't give it anything much lower.
And what did I just say, 5.5?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, 5.5 is good because it's you know, it's one of those movies that you certainly will giggle from it, even though they're guilty giggles. But
guilty giggles.
But it's certainly, to me, it doesn't belong in like a category of 6 and above because it's just, you know, it's just cheap humor.
Yeah.
But you can give it whatever you want. That's just my own personal opinion.
Hey, back to the Emily Rose thing. You know, supposedly weird shit happens at 3 a.m. Anyone ever notice that?
Well, I'm usually sleeping, but see, this is the other problem with me. It's just now that this part of the movie did scare me a bit, I can see myself having trouble sleeping. You know? I mean, that is something that...
The little will protect you.
The little, you know...
We have a little gargoyle who will protect us.
We have a little pit bull who sleeps in the bed. And she is pretty protective of me. But she might sleep right through anything. At 3 o'clock in the morning, and it is described by the priest in this movie, that that's the demonic witching hour.
I was listening to Coast with...
George Norrie?
Yeah, the cat who took over for
Art Bell.
And they were talking about how stuff always happens at that time. Now I'm wondering, maybe he got it from this movie or...
Maybe they were reviewing the movie or talking about the real case or something?
No, they weren't. They were just talking about stuff that happens... that was happening to people at like that hour, like 3 in the morning.
Well, then
maybe
it's something that everybody seems to know in that world that we, you know, that they just picked up on in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the real life story, it doesn't say anything about any of that.
Yeah.
It doesn't say anything about 3 a.m. It's the only thing it does say, which I thought was interesting. In the movie, they talk about the ritual, the exorcism ritual that they were performing on this girl. It's called, and excuse my inability to speak another language, Rituale Romanum, I guess. And so...
Rituale Romanum.
It says here, exorcism, though long considered one of the church's dirty little secrets, is neither a religious ceremony nor a sacrament. It is a rite in which the priests confront the demon in the afflicted's body and demand that it show itself. Once the demon is revealed, the priest attempts to use their own faith to drive it out of the innocent. So that particular ritual was first written in 1614, and and in 1952, I guess they changed it a little bit to because they realized that mental illness was could be
certain confused. Things became a little more gotcha.
But then I think eventually.
I mean, at one point, modern medicine basically, you know, considered if you were black, you had a disease. You know, being
what?
Being a black person was considered having a disease.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I mean, we've come a long way in our definition of medicine, of what a disease is and what, you know.
Interesting. Well, anyway, I think what I was getting to was that the Catholic Church stopped that whole exorcism, that rituale Romanum or whatever it's called. They don't do that anymore. Like, they took it out of their whatever.
Yeah, now that they can just get rid of
they have something else that they do.
Abuse of little boys. I think they'll be all set.
Yeah.
I think that's their dirty secret. They should deal with it. They, you know,
that's a whole other thing.
Keep the exorcism going and get rid of the rape.
Yeah. That's just filthy. But,
you know.
So, do you have anything else to say about it?
No, it was a pleasant surprise, though, actually. This movie, you know, I think if it had been marketed as a drama, a suspense drama, and not as a horror film, I think it would have gotten further.
Or it's like a suspense thriller or something.
You know, if throw in Jeff Goldblum and you could have had an actual potential award winner here.
It could have been.
So
you think it would have won an award with Jeff Goldblum?
They just missed.
It is Jeff Goldblum.
Hey, come on. I'd say Jurassic Park all over. It's like a Jurassic Park meets The Fly.
Okay, I didn't really love Jurassic Park.
I didn't love The Fly.
You didn't?
Okay, I liked it.
You really didn't like The Fly with Jeff Goldblum?
I didn't love The Fly. I liked The Fly. I like Jeff Goldblum.
Why didn't you love it?
I liked Earth Girls Are Easy more than The Fly,
Are you kidding me?
I am
that kidding. Is such a horrible shit fest.
Come on, that was one of Jim Carrey's early movies.
Dave,
it was a shit fest.
Dave, it was a shit fest.
That was a shit fest. You're right.
And it had the other Julie Brown in it.
Right. Not the downtown, the uptown.
Yeah, well, just the white Julie Brown.
The
what is she doing now? Do we even know? Is she alive?
She's like, I have no idea.
She doesn't like pop up in places.
She was not meant to be.
She had a moment.
Come on, Jeff Goldblum in Death Wish, all right? Now you're getting obscure. He was one of the rapists.
Oh, really?
Yes. He spray paints this girl's ass, and then they rape her. It's really wonderful stuff.
I have five words for you. 10-speed and brown shoe.
Wow. Wait a second. I think I know. I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
You don't
know
what 10-speed and brown shoe means?
Is that some sort of Jeff Goldblum reference?
It is. He had a show. I think it was on ABC in like 1978 or 79 with Ben Vereen.
Well, then he was what?
I believe it was Ben Vereen.
Ben Vereen with brown shoe?
10-speed and brown shoe. I don't remember who was who.
That is a bizarre, bizarre name for a show.
They were, brown shoe is another name for that's gumshoe. I don't know. It was like a detective type of thing. Jeff Goldblum was, I loved that show. I remember being little and loving that show and thinking he was great.
Don't hurt the Jeff Goldblum.
No, my God, no. No. Anyway, so I think that's the show for today. I would recommend seeing it once it's, the problem is that I think that this movie was shot fairly nicely, and to watch it on pay-per-view where you can't get the letterboxing, I think you're missing a lot. So I don't know if HBO is going to show it. If you have HDTV, maybe they'll show it that way. But I would not watch the full screen. We had no choice, but I mean, there's a lot of some nice, like, ethereal type of shooting and some of the scary parts. I just like to see a movie the way it was shot.
I hear that.
I mean, you're missing a good 30% of it when you're seeing the full screen. And it's a shame.
Somebody take care of it. Get on a goddamn horn and do something about that.
Well, I was almost going to call pay-per-view today, but it was Saturday, so I didn't, and ask them about what are they doing with Serenity and why is it on, like, a channel with all, two other crappy movies.
Freaking Hollywood execs. They're full all screen. Addicted to that goddamn oil, I tell you.
I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Hey, we're all addicted to the oil.
Oh, God.
Over here.
Okay. Okay, terrific.
We have to find alternate sources.
Okay, Dave. I'm trying to wind up. Or wind down.
Alternate sources must be found.
Or wind out.
What is the frequency, Kenneth?
All right. Oh, you know what you know what the one thing I wrote down from the Bad News Bears was? the new unimproved gay Lupus.
That's funny that you thought that Lupus was gay, because I thought that Tanner and the fat kid were obviously gay, because they kept fucking grabbing each other and fighting and some, because of weird pseudo homo behavior.
No.
Homoerotic behavior.
I thought that was just bad directing. But the new unimproved gay Lupus said, and this is like the kind, this is what he said, and this so fit that movie, it's like, it was ridiculous. He said, sometimes bird shit tastes like candy. That was like his line. And I thought to myself, yeah, and you know what? This isn't one of those times.
Yeah, this was some serious bird shit that tasted like bird shit.
Tasted like bird shit. It was a bird shit sandwich. All right. Before we go, I'd like to just remind everybody to give us a visit at daveandshecky.com. Join the forums. Give us your opinions on movies. Give us your top 10, your bottom 10, your left of center 10, whatever you want to give us. There's no censoring on our forums. And we look forward to meeting you there.
Peace out, yo.
Bye-bye.
Once you've looked into the darkness, I think you carry it with you for the rest of your life.